Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Are you ready?
It's Afternoons with OMF.
Game is over. And so is the 50-year drought between Super Bowl.
To be here, be a part of Chiefs Kingdom, be able to do it in Arrowhead. These people deserve it, and we're not done yet. We're going to get it.
You guys win the Super Bowl. Is there any plan in place to carry Andy off the field?
He's kind of heavy. And he's heavy.
It was completely unacceptable. Those two fumbles that he had.
Aaron Rodgers never had it from center.
His lack of effort to get the ball. You're the leader of the franchise. It's completely unacceptable.
You know, I'm excited for the investigation to get over with, just so they can see that there was nothing going on here. What happened? You got to ask Houston that. I don't know.
The commissioner made his report, and the Astros made their decision as well. Do you have any plans to address this? The commissioner made his report.
Right now.
Chase Utley was a thief.
On Sports Radio WEEI.
All right, the microphones are on, boys. We're working.
Oh, yeah. We're doing the show before the show.
Might be a holiday, we do the show. We're working. What a weekend of football, huh? How about those Packers?
Woo! Yeah, how about Aaron Rodgers? So is Aaron Rodgers now Wilt Chamberlain?
First game was good.
Second game was over.
Second game sucked.
So early. You sat there and said, do I have to really stay with this thing?
I mean, it's funny. Like the first game, the Chiefs game, you sit there and go, oh, here we go again. It's the same routine every single time. They go through the motions. They get down. And you're just waiting for it to happen. And I thought the Tennessee Titans used up all their tricks, but they threw a touchdown pass to the heaviest person to ever catch a touchdown pass. I don't know if you knew that the Tennessee Titans threw a touchdown pass to an offensive lineman, and he was the heaviest person to ever catch a touchdown pass.
And I don't know if you knew it as well either, Christian. I'm sure you did, but you had to be reminded that this is nothing new for Mike Vrabel.
Oh, wow.
Let's go back and show you some clips.
Oh, yeah.
When he was at the Patriots.
Yeah.
He would catch touchdown passes.
Yeah, I didn't see that part. I missed that. I must have went to the bathroom or gotten maybe grabbed a drink or something.
No, you probably
like that.
Saw that part, but your mind is not willing to accept it. That's what it is.
Dude, I wonder where
like
Dan
Wiggy's
Graham
sitting
feels.
There watching the TV saying, wasn't I the heaviest guy ever to catch one of those passes? What? What are they talking about?
Yeah. All the favorites won.
Yes.
Yes.
And so
this is the way it is.
Yeah, so two number one seeds. Well, actually, the Baltimore Ravens were the number one seed.
The San Fran game, I think, to me, was the more interesting one because we've seen this. How many people you think in Green Bay were sitting there saying, yeah, they beat the hell out of us, but, you know, they won't beat us twice. Yeah. We'll change it up. And then, you know, you're thinking about it, it's like they got smacked around so badly the first time of the year. It's like, okay, yeah, you got to try some stuff. But a lot of times it just gets smacked around again because they're just better than you. Which is exactly what happened. That second half was garbage. Don't tell me. Oh, they came back.
That was awful.
That was garbage.
No, it was awful. It was awful. And you look at it and you say to yourself, how many open holes? Did you see those holes? There's one thing about being able to run. There's another about your offensive line opening holes that you could put a Mack truck through.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable what they were able to open up for their running game. And we thought Tennessee would be the team that would do all of the running. Oh, my God.
That was one of the most dominating first halves you've seen.
No question.
Especially in the postseason against two good ball clubs. I mean, you know, you could see a bad football team, a 2-3-win team, play a good football team and get dominated. Two good football teams, pure domination in the first half. Because that was the game. Okay, the second half was useless. That was just about fantasy.
You're talking about Green Bay.
That was just about DraftKings. That was just about gambling, trying to get the over. The first half, the domination of the offensive line, defensive line, it was embarrassing.
Well,
I was like, are they going to just quit? They're going to a team that just quit.
Yeah, another sign that the running back is less important than the offensive lineman. If you have a good, powerful offensive line, you can get a journeyman like this guy. Who the hell
you
this
don't
dude
need a
is
first-round pick. Mostert.
Mostert, who just ran all over the place. I mean, their holes were huge. He had a lot of speed.
Fast.
He was physical. Fast as hell around the corner. But when you watch the line of scrimmage, how far he pushed back, the San Francisco 49ers pushed back the Green Bay Packers. And then the second-level blocking, it was a joke.
Well,
the guy just sprinted through there. Then the DBs want nothing to do with him.
I'm reading right here, though. It really wasn't Aaron Rodgers' fault.
Of course.
His defense did not do the job. And you can't blame him. And then he had injuries. And so it was a major problem for him. And his offensive line didn't hold up. What about the fact that he turned the ball over a few times in this game? Did he not? One of them, he got back.
The strip sack that he got back. The guy just like slapped the ball. Yeah. Like we were just playing, I don't know why. He's playing like Nerf football in a backyard or something. Zero protection of the football.
Did you guys see any of Aaron Rodgers after the game?
Yes.
The window is open for us, and that's the exciting thing. I think we're going to be on the right side of one of these real soon. Real soon. How old is he? 36?
Well, the funny thing is just
real soon?
We touched about this
the
on
rebuild.
Friday.
He thinks he's got a rebuild
group.
Yeah,
no, he needs a better defense. He needs to start. They need to start building a team
defense
like the Patriots did.
Defense was pretty good for them this year at times.
For the most part.
They had games where they dominated.
Not yesterday.
No, not yesterday.
There's no way
they got
like,
bullied.
You haven't heard one thing about Aaron Rodgers hitting some cliff, falling off a cliff, getting near a cliff, slowing down, losing arm strength. None of that stuff. None of it as he approaches the same age that Brady was when the cliff moment, cliff phrase was introduced.
Him. I think off one throw off his like back foot or something, he threw left. They're like, oh, he still got the arm strength.
Yeah.
Wasn't a bullet. He was just off balance and threw the football.
Good news.
Another thing they're praising about his arm strength.
Well, the good news is, though, Aaron Rodgers was really excited about this season. He had fun.
Yeah.
Beauty in this sport is it is a true team sport. You're relying on so many other people. As we move into the offseason now, the reliance is on guys doing their responsibilities, doing their part to be ready for next season. And who knows what can happen. Yeah. It's a long year, but this one will always be special because it became fun again.
Fun again. It's all fun again.
Well, you know, he's in the arena. He's at two games played that day.
That's
everybody's
a shot at
watching
McCarthy.
Him.
That's a shot at McCarthy.
Yeah.
That guy was miserable. He hated football when he was here. Matt LaFleur took
that
his handsome good
is.
Looks and he made football fun again for me.
Loved coming to work every day.
Yes, that was it.
And for him, this is an accomplishment. You at least got to the conference championship. You didn't win the damn thing. Matter of fact, you got smoked in the thing. But at least for him, that's an accomplishment. But I agree with Lou. That is directly. Mike McCarthy, you suck.
He's looking forward to the offseason. He's going to be there during the OTAs.
It's going to be wonderful. So, and then in the other game, you know, the Tennessee dream finally came to an end. There's only so many games you can go out there and get your running back to give you 185, even though you got a lead early in the game. But then Kansas City started to get their offense in gear. And once they took a double-digit lead, guess what?
How crazy was
Derrick Henry's on the sidelines.
How crazy was that third quarter? The third quarter of that KC game where they dominated and they were chewing up the clock and they were going for it on fourth down. And it was crazy how much credit Andy Reid got for that offense.
Yeah.
All they did was say, this is an Andy Reid offense.
Well,
it was amazing.
What about Eric Bieniemy?
Nobody mentioned his name.
Yeah,
not
you know,
one. I didn't hear his name mentioned once.
It was amazing. And I don't know who it was talking about Bieniemy. We've talked about it before. I said that they need to get to the Super Bowl and have Andy Reid prop this guy up for a couple of weeks and talk about how great he is. You watch that game. Eric Bieniemy's name might have been said once. Maybe. All the praise, Romo, Nets, all those guys are talking about was Andy Reid's offense. Look at Andy Reid's offense. You want to take away, you know, this? We're going to run the football. You want to take away the inside? Look how they adjusted to outside the numbers. Oh, now in the second half, they changed up your defense. Now we're going to run the football. Andy Reid. That San Fran game? Man, all they do is kept showing that defensive coordinator.
Yeah. George Salah.
All they kept doing was showing Salah. The whole game. Talk about how great of a defensive coordinator he is. I'm like, And you wonder why.
Yeah, it's funny.
I don't know.
That was driving me crazy because even when they, because I know what you're talking about because they ran it four times and Tony Romo said, hey, can we get a stats guy out here to find out when was the last time the Kansas City Chiefs ran it four times in a row? Well, they kept playing this certain coverage and they said, okay, fine, if we're going to do that, we're going to force you into playing man. Every time you bailed out and played zone, okay, we're going to run it. That seems to be an offensive coordinator's adjustment. That's what the offensive coordinator does in real time. They're adjusting on the fly while the game is going on, not during a timeout, in real time. And Eric Bieniemy got no credit for it whatsoever.
So people talk about race, and they talk about why guys like Eric Bieniemy, because he's got a pretty damn good track record when you look at that offense and how good that offense is, and he is indeed the offensive coordinator. But then you look at what Lou just brought up, and that is nobody showered him with praise. They hardly mention him.
So,
and I don't think it's going to change in the next 2 weeks. unless Andy Reid sits there and makes it an emphasis on making sure that he features Bieniemy. Because over the next 2 weeks, most of the older pundits are going to sit there and say, Andy deserves his shot. He deserves his ring. Mm-hmm. Andy's never gotten his ring. He's one of the great coaches in this game. And they all love Andy, okay? He's well-loved. So it's going to be more showering praise on Andy. And yet you're going to look at the 49ers. And George Saleh is going to get tons of attention over the next couple weeks because everybody knows that Kyle Shanahan deals with the offense. And the defense is what people are featuring right now because your offense threw the ball, your quarterback threw the ball 8 times in a freaking game.
But you also
game.
Have people like Richard Sherman propping up George Saleh,
yeah.
talking about how great he is right. and how he shouldn't be the head coach and tweeting about how it's a joke that the guy we just shut down is the head coach now of the, you know, whatever, so of the New York Giants. So he's got players that are going to be talking about him for 2 weeks. That's what needs to happen here for this guy.
But that's what happened.
In the next 2 years, it won't happen. It would be interesting. I would like to know who does install. Like, who's really
Robert,
in charge?
Robert Saleh. Did I say George?
You can say George. I get it.
Robert Saleh.
But I would like to see it. To me, that just was obvious the way it worked, how much credit he get, just like Bill gets all the credit for the defense. Like, this is an Andy Reid offense. They never mentioned Eric Bieniemy's name, and even though they put up a bunch of different quarterbacks or coaches that had left and went to other teams that ran the offense and got credit for it. But not him. He doesn't get credit for it for anything.
No, we've nothing.
Got a problem.
Nothing at all.
So much of this is perception
and
how it's presented. And yet, in the end, people are going to bring it back to race. That's what they're going to do, right?
I mean, believe me, we'll get into it later.
That's the first thing I thought of was that Romo's a racist because he doesn't want to give Bieniemy any credit, and he's giving it all to the chubby white guy who looks like Glenn.
A bigger version of
that's
Glenn.
What, I think that's what people want to think, and maybe it's true. I believe that it's not. I just believe he needs to start getting more attention for the work that he does. And it would help if his quarterback was the one doing that. There's wide receivers or his tight end or his head coach. And sometimes that's just the way it is. Glenn, you talked about it before. Some owners are just fans, you know, and they want the next best thing out there, right? Now, granted, the hiring of Joe Judge goes against all of this.
Yep.
But that's not always the case. He's the anomaly. I think most of the times, Mike Shanahan, the more praise that Mike Shanahan gets, everybody wants him. Sean McVay, you praise him, everybody wants him. So it's just... That's just the way it goes. He's got 2 weeks to prop this guy up. Next offseason, maybe he gets a job.
All right, talking about owners who are fans, one apparently met with Tom Brady over the weekend. We're going to get to all of that and some of the comments Brady made over the weekend with Scratchy as well. What does it all mean? Does it mean anything? And, oh, yeah, Lockham Four has got himself supposedly a scoop.
New information.
We'll get to all of that, and we'll get to your phone calls at 617-779-7937 right here on OMF.
Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier. Glenn, Lou, and Christian on Sports Radio WEEI.
Oh, now you want to talk about Tom Brady, right? What was he what?
His opinion of the fight.
Oh, how would you not like the fight? I thought when she asked me the question earlier, I thought you guys were going to ask me, hey, Tom Brady was here. Davis was here. I saw them talking. What's going on? Are you guys f***ing Las Vegans or what? Come on, man. If that dude isn't playing for Boston, he's playing here. All right? So, I don't know. No idea what I'm talking about, but yeah, he liked the fight.
Dana White taking advantage of his UFC event this weekend to say, hey, we got all the celebrities here. We got and Tom Brady and Mark Davis, the owner of the Raiders.
Oh,
a little powwow.
A little collusion.
Spent some quality time together.
I love it when you see like headlines and stuff on print, and then when you listen to it live, I mean, listen to the actual audio. Because at first it's like, oh, you know, Dana White, you know, maybe he knows something. And then even in that clip, he actually admits he's just messing with you.
Yeah, he doesn't know it.
Even admits it. I don't even know what I'm talking about.
I will say this, though. That
no idea what I'm talking about.
No idea.
Brady's no fool. It wasn't to sit, and apparently they had a prolonged conversation, he and Mark Davis. They weren't sitting there talking about who's your barber, when do you get your haircut. They were talking probably a little bit more. And even if they were not, it was smart of Tom Brady because this is called establishing, creating leverage. That's exactly what Tom Brady's doing out there. Why not? Why would he shy away from talking to Mark Davis?
No genius.
Mark Davis wanted to talk to him.
I always felt like that was some form of tampering. That Mark Davis, an owner of another team,
yeah.
I mean, I guess you can talk to whoever you want to, but, I mean, Magic Johnson got in trouble. Other owners have gotten in trouble.
Why can't he talk to Mark Davis? He just can't talk to Mark Davis about playing for his football
team. Hi, Mark. How are you?
How are you?
Isn't that tempering?
Use a bowl for that, or you actually go to a stylist?
How cool will Vegas be, like, for a future player of yours?
There you go.
Yeah, are we talking about the fight, or are we talking about me playing for you? What do you think we're talking about? I can just see that. Can you imagine that conversation between those two, trying to speak in code and be all, like, vague so they don't get in trouble? I don't know. I mean, if you're Mark Davis, I mean, don't you just kind of stay away? I mean, isn't Robert Kraft, like, what are you doing talking to my guy?
Why?
It's like this free agent.
Not yet.
Not yet.
He's not a free agent yet.
But why not talk to him unless, you know, you can't sit there and talk and have somebody overhear you talking about coming to Vegas and playing for the Raiders. You can't do that. But certainly you can have a conversation with the guy. He's an owner in the league. So Jason Lockenfora comes out with his latest big scoop. For the first time in his NFL career, Tom Brady prepared to discuss a future with teams beyond the New England Patriots. And then he goes on and on basically to say that Tom Brady is prepared to meet with teams other than the Patriots in 2020 free agency. He made a big deal about this over the weekend. Did anybody think this story was anything different than anything we had already heard?
Nothing new. All I heard was he's keeping an open mind. He's open-minded.
He said that continuously.
Was there a difference between making trips? Can you make a trip in tampering period?
No, okay. You cannot.
So it's a story.
You can communicate, though.
All right, no, he's going to make trips.
Yeah.
So he's not going to do it until free agency's over. So he's gone. The Patriots got $13.5 million. If you wait till after free agency's over, if he's going to make trips.
Yeah, but that doesn't necessarily.
Tommy Curran said that like 3 months ago.
Yeah, he did.
But
he didn't point it out. We haven't continued to talk about it. We've kept talking about if it gets past the 17th, he's probably not coming back.
Well, wait a minute now.
So now he's going to go make trips.
If he doesn't agree with the deal with the New England Patriots by the 18th of March, of course he's going to make trips. What else? What other options does he have? He has to go. He wants to say, he has already said he wants to play. Until he's 45. I don't think this is any different than what Curran, I'll give him credit, he had it 3 months ago, that if Tom Brady can't reach an agreement with the Patriots, he's going to continue to play.
Curran might have had it, but we sat here the whole time thinking that there's going to be a deal before the 17th, correct?
Well, maybe, I mean, a deal, like a closed deal, okay, the done or an offer.
Well,
I mean,
just I think an offer, a deal, because if it gets past the 17th, then 13.5 kicks in. He probably won't have a deal with the New England Patriots. So this is just a report confirming that it's even better odds that he's not coming back. Because according to this, it's not like he's planning on taking trips. He's not going to settle for anything. Again, it's leverage. I get it.
That's all.
But, you know, I think everything that comes out of this guy, right, at this point, we will dissect and is very important. Because if he's going to go on trips, that means there's no deal, that tampering period. And I find it extremely hard to believe he's coming back.
Yeah, but we don't even know if the New England Patriots are going to offer Tom Brady a deal to come back.
We don't.
Suppose that the New England Patriots already know in conversations with Don Yee that Tom Brady is looking for $30 million plus. That maybe that whole idea of him being pissed off that, you know, he's way down on the list of average annual salary of quarterbacks is getting to him. And they sit there and say, you know what, Don, you know, I know what he wants. We know what he wants. We're not willing to go there. We can't go there right now because we've got to attach all of this dead money from the past onto Tom's salary. We really can't do that. We don't even know what the Patriots are going to do. We have no idea what is in Bill Belichick's mind. Does he think that Stidham is ready? Maybe. Maybe not. Does he already have... Does he already have designs on another quarterback out there that he knows is going to be available? That he knows, and we know, they all talk. Agents that he knows he can get at an affordable price. It allows him to go into the draft and draft a quarterback this year, somebody he likes, and maybe Stidham becomes that third guy. We don't know any of that stuff, so it's all open-ended, and that's why when he was on with Scratchy yesterday, I was not surprised to hear Tom Brady answer this question.
You continue to dominate the news around the National Football League. You've had a couple of weeks now to decompress. Are you coming to grips with the realistic possibility that perhaps, you might play for another team, and are you willing to do that?
Well, like you said, it's been a couple weeks, and you know, I've had a lot of time with my family the last couple weeks and just decompressing from the season and spending time with them. So I've said earlier I'm open-minded about the process, and you know, at the same time, I love playing football, and I want to continue to play and do a great job. So I'm looking forward to what's ahead. Whatever the future may bring, I'll embrace it with open arms. And in the meantime, I'm going to watch these two games today as a fan and enjoy it from my couch.
Couch potato Tom Brady. Won't be a potato, probably avocado.
That's right. Either one. Something healthy, baby.
That's funny.
How many more of these do we have?
You have Super Bowl. He's doing another one of the Super Bowl.
Some would say not enough, Christian.
I would say I'm kind of done with him.
He did it three times yesterday. Did it before the game.
Oh, my God.
Right? In between the games and then after, I believe, the second game.
But, so can you teach guys how to grind, or is that innate?
But there's so much.
What type of grinding are you talking about, Scratchy? I mean, there's different types of them.
Tom.
I don't know. I think I'm done with it. There's nothing new to report. Nothing. This lock and forward thing. Okay,
I don't
fine.
Think
didn't he ask that same question to him before though? Like, didn't he ask him that same question last weekend?
Yeah. Wouldn't you
still
run
in the
out
news,
stuff?
Tom, about playing somewhere? You know, I mean, so next week. Well, 2 weeks from now, they're going to do the same thing.
But Lewis,
he's running out of questions to ask him. There's nothing else to ask him.
But there's no reason.
Season's over. Josh is back officially. He's not going anywhere. He didn't get that Cleveland job. Are you happy about Josh McDaniels staying? That's what I want to ask him. Do you think you guys could coexist for another 2 years? Do you think he's too controlling? I would ask all those questions. That could just be my opinion or not.
Have you moved into a house in Greenwich, Connecticut?
Have you bought a house? Yeah.
Boy.
Have you seen the real estate in Vegas? You know, there's a lot of cool places.
Greg's got to be happy about that because that
story pops
up
everywhere.
I think New York Post had it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Zell and Tom just moved into their new $9 million home
in
Greenwich.
From the Connecticut patch.
That was the original story that was actually shut down by the realtor that sold the house. She actually worked for the company. It's like,
really amazing.
It sold for $9 million, but not to those two. And it's still in the New York Post.
It's irrelevant.
Think it's crazy.
No, that's how it works today.
But here's the thing. I feel like there's this competition. Call it the Kentucky Derby of free agency source information. And you line them all up. The Lacanforas, the Currens, the Fouriers, you name it.
Fouriers?
Of course the Fouriers are in there.
Yeah.
I got a good spot, too. All of them trying to give and get the information out first. Who are they talking to? Who are they talking to?
Because
sources. Well, so his dad, okay, would be a good source. Alex Guerrero would be a great source if anyone could get in touch with him. Don Yee would be an excellent source. Those would be his wife.
So
if you can speak Portuguese,
okay,
that would be. Is that what they? If she speaks, Portuguese?
I think she speaks.
But see, the difference with me is this.
Argentinian? No.
Lock and four to me.
There's no Argentinian.
I understand that, you know, Curran had talked about this a long time ago, but he hasn't talked about it recently. It's a report. It's not an opinion. That's all. It's a report. And that if he's true, it would be extremely surprised if Brady were to agree to a new pact before free agency starts. We've had this discussion that's the best opportunity to re-sign Tom Brady is to get it beforehand. Because $13.5 million... You know, what are you going to give Tom?
Yeah, but I don't think
you're going to ride a $35 million cap hit and you're only going to give him $22, $23 million?
Yeah, I think it's simpler than what Lock and Four is saying. I actually think that Tom Brady, ideally, if he had the ideal world, would probably want to come back here and have the team go out and get him better weapons.
But haven't you said if it gets past the 17th, that Brady will be gone?
Yeah, but that's
okay,
a different.
So this guy's saying that. So why are you poo-pooing?
No, he's not.
It's your opinion. This guy's actually saying that's what he's hearing.
Yeah, but he is hearing that.
So put it with your opinion and say he's gone.
Why is he hearing that, though? Because that's what both sides want to do. If I'm Tom Brady, I want to present the illusion out there that I'm willing to go elsewhere and I'll take it. I will leave you. And if I'm the Patriots, I'm probably going the opposite direction. And I want to get Tom Brady at a cheaper rate. So I'm playing the opposite game. That's all that's going on. That's why nothing is going to happen. It for real. Until we get at least to March the 1st.
See, this story.
All you're going to get is this.
Nothing's going to happen until you hear the contract.
This reminds me of when people who watch the stock market every hour, they check on their stocks. They just constantly monitoring it. And they're willing to go ride the ups and the downs over and over again. Look at it at the end of the week. Because every time we have Bill on here and we talk about free agency, we talk about draft picks, we talk about signing people, talk about negotiations, you know, sometimes there's nothing. And then all of a sudden, bam, you get a deal done in an hour. 30 minutes, you get it done. Because both sides are understanding of what the limits are, what the restrictions could be. So this is going to be just this is the way it's going to be. Tomorrow you'll have something else. What do you think you're going to get on Radio Row next week?
Oh.
What are you going to get? Please. Every Hall of Famer is going to have an opinion of Tom Brady.
But each side is going to be plugging their... They want to get some type of edge in all of this. But when you know, when he talks about, as one source put it, Brady will do due diligence to assess all realistic possibilities, with it only human nature to explore this chance to embrace his free agent status for the first time in his career. Well, I expected he was going to do due diligence. He has to. And his due diligence starts with, does Bill Belichick want me back? And if he wants me back, does he want to go cheap on me? Because I am now 43 years of age, and he looks at it much differently than I look at it. All of that stuff is due diligence. And the Patriots are going to do due diligence. I don't see how anything has changed. And nothing is going to change until we get the first week of March. We're in the same situation we were in 2 weeks ago. All right, let's get to your phone calls. We'll do that coming up next. 617-779-7937 right here on OMF.
The next stage of his life and his career will be built around Hollywood. That's not speculation. That's not guessing. Like, that's where it's at, whether it's producing movies with Matt Damon and, you know, his Hollywood buddies, whether it's creating his own media empire. You know, that's what this whole thing is geared towards. And he's already got a lot of family out there. And Tom House is already out there. And the trainer's already out there. Like, let's be real. You know, he's not going to play for Jacksonville next year. If he leaves, there's one place that makes sense. And would that move the meter?
That's Jason Luckin. That's Jason Luckin for back in December. And so he's got somebody from the Brady clan who's talking to him. But if I'm Tom Brady, I'm not eliminating Jacksonville either. Maybe 2 weeks from now we hear that Lock and Forest says, you know what? They're building something special down there in Jacksonville,
again,
according to my sources.
No, again,
close
they're doing
to the Bradys, you know. You want to keep everybody in the loop because that is best for you. I mean, none of this stuff surprises me, but are we learning anything? No, because nobody has got a deadline yet. Nobody's got a gun to their head. So right now, if you're Brady, you want to make sure that everybody knows you're willing to leave New England. Hey, Bill Belichick, I'll walk away. I will leave. I don't have to
that's
be
what
there.
I think we're all getting played.
Everybody's getting played.
I think Brady's doing it. I think people around him are doing it. They have to set the narrative. They have to drive the narrative. One, that he's driven. Two, he wants to show people that he can still play. He wants to win a championship. What's that going to look like? I mean, all those things.
Here's what he's doing. Here's what he's doing. He's being a lot smarter than Kyrie Irving, because Kyrie Irving got all caught up in the emotion of it and then goes out there and says, if you'll have me back, I'll be back. Thomas smarter than that. He's not going to do that. He's not going to show his hands. This is a game of cards. You do not show your hands. You're trying to negotiate. Deep down inside, and he said it, I love the Patriots and everything they've done, and great organization, love Kraft, Belichick's the best. So it's obvious, yeah, he would like to come
back.
So
when does it come from the other
conditions?
Side? When does it come from the other side?
Well, we don't know
that
if they
want the Patriots want him. Patriots, you know, from what I'm hearing, the Patriots believe that they can still make the postseason with any quarterback.
Yeah, well, you know what?
You can find
a quarterback that can throw the ball eight times. You can get to the Super Bowl.
Right, well, I'm just
eight
saying.
Eight times,
you know,
in a conference championship.
So we think a lot of it has to do maybe with Brady trying to create leverage that, you know, he's going to go to the Raiders. He's going to go to the here and there, and everyone would want him. So many teams are into him, and people are already that, you know, he's got 10, 12 teams on the hook. All right, when does it come back the other side? Because you got to get it back. You got to get some leverage back, right? New England Patriots don't need him. Feel like they don't need him. They'd love to have him back, but they feel like, you know, they build the team around whoever that next guy is.
You don't think you're not going to
still win the division?
You will.
I'm just saying when.
Yeah, in the next few weeks. I think as you get closer to March, you'll start hearing some of that stuff.
Well, listen, if you don't have Brady on this team, if he's not your quarterback, and you've kind of just watched the Kansas City Chiefs kind of run through Tennessee, and now you look at, you know, Mahomes going to the Super Bowl in his third year, you're going to have to deal with that guy. You're still going to deal with the Tennessee Titans, the Baltimore Ravens, and, you know, an up-and-coming AFC East. Who is replacing him? It benefits if they really want to keep their position, they just can't replace him with some guy.
Yeah, but let me give you this one. And you brought this up the other day, and you're plugged in, so I'm taking your word for it, that it was a negative for Tom Brady with
Josh McDaniels. Negative for the Patriots.
Right, for Josh McDaniels coming back. You said
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I'd say it's more 80% negative.
Okay, so maybe
not 100%.
Right, so maybe Josh McDaniels.
And I have it more like 95%.
So maybe Josh McDaniels is looking at it right now and saying part of our problem was we get these young receivers or whatever, but Tom Brady needs everything to be precise, everything to be that you got to be there right on the spot. Maybe what we need is a little bit more athleticism at that position.
Don't you?
Maybe we need an opportunity of a quarterback that's not going to be afraid to stretch it out and try to throw it to Jacoby Myers within a window. He's going to be less conservative, and granted, he might turn the ball over a little bit more, but maybe we need that a little bit.
I will say this. That
you're going to hear some
of that. I think each side would be, I guess, would welcome the change, the opportunity. So you're telling me I can run a bootleg? When's the last time? The Patriots have not run a bootleg or a naked ever.
Well, these other teams do it all the time.
They
now,
can't run
with these
play action bootlegs. They got to do it a different way.
I look at what Miami did, right? By getting rid of O'Shea and just talking about how the system maybe was too complicated. And a lot of these kids that are coming out of college, you know, you could sit and watch, you know, A.J. Brown and Deebo Samuel. But, you know, in a precision type offense where they have to be here, here, and here, and it's about timing, maybe that doesn't click. So if we're going to grab all these great, you know, talent in college football, and there's a lot of wide receivers coming out of the draft, and this last class was an outstanding wide receiver class, a lot of good wide receivers out of college, we need to simplify it. You know, and yeah, the mobile quarterback to make things happen, to let these athletes work, because this system doesn't work anymore.
You're going to hear that. That's the stuff that will drip out of Foxborough. That you will hear from the Patriots trying to sign. So let's get down to the nitty gritty on all of this. Deep down inside, what do you think Tom Brady wants right now? Deep down inside, what is the number one thing he would want right now?
An opportunity to win a championship.
Okay. Oh, man.
I'm looking at the Vegas odds. I'm looking at the Vegas odds. And the Vegas odds show me right now that the New England Patriots are higher up on that list than the Chargers. They're higher up on that list right now than the Vegas Raiders. Okay? They're higher on that list right now than the Tennessee Titans.
But it's all based on Brady.
It's based on,
I find it hard to believe those odds. Like if they find out Brady signed somewhere else, that the Patriots would be the fifth highest odds to win a Super Bowl.
No, but they would drop down. But we're talking about
and
Tom
those
Brady.
Other teams would
but
drop you, up.
But
we'll go up.
But we're talking about Tom Brady. Where's Tom Brady's best opportunity? If Tom Brady comes back,
when he
here,
says opportunity, and this is why honestly, I think personnel might actually hurt him here, unless they can prove to him that they're going to improve what they have. Because what's going to change other than tight end?
So what is Tom Brady? I'll ask the question again. And I'll answer it if you want. Tom Brady wants right now is he wants to come back to the New England Patriots because it doesn't change much in his life. Okay, he's going to move to who knows where in the next few years, but it doesn't change anything. His family has been here, but he also wants respect, and that means he wants money. And the third thing he wants is he wants better players around him. So now, I think that is ideally
is that
what
impossible?
He wants. No. So let's switch to the other side. What do the Patriots want right now?
They want to stay. I would call it fiscally responsible.
So I think they would like to keep Tom Brady at least for the next year. I don't know if they would extend the contract beyond that unless they were getting some type of cap relief that they needed. I think they want to get better tools on the offensive side of the ball because they have to be stupid not to see that that's an issue. And so I think they would like to have Tom short-term with better players on the offensive side. So I think we've already identified, what does Brady want? What do the Patriots want? But I'm not sure you can satisfy both sides of this deal.
I feel like there's each side is going to come to the table with, I'll call it demands.
They want them cheap.
They want it to kind of, and I
we
just
don't know
how close to a compromise they could get.
How much can he endure? Can Brady endure?
I think you're right with all of that. The question is, okay, now when you sit down, what is that number that allows the Patriots to build around him? And what is that number that Tom is happy with? And is he confident that they'll be able to, you know, build that weaponry around him? So they just might not be able to come to terms. Tom, in order for us to do what we want to do, this is the number we have to give you. Well, that number is unacceptable.
So
quite frankly, I don't know how the hell to trust you that you're going to go out and do it because the last couple of years have been a nightmare.
So what Tom might have to do is Tom might have to accept an opportunity that doesn't fulfill all three of those things we threw out there. And for the New England Patriots, they may have to do the same thing. They may have to fulfill going forward without satisfying the two things they want, which is Brady on a team-friendly deal, and two, by doing that, having the money to go and get weapons around him.
See,
they may only be able to get the weapons around him, and the quarterback is going to be a lesser quarterback than what you had with Tom Brady.
All right, so Skip Bayless actually
because
I'm going to tee you up. I think this brings me to what you said maybe 6 months ago.
Trying to be rational.
But when you hear this, okay, you can say it's out of line, it's irrational, it doesn't make any sense. This is a possibility. And if this does happen, this will get you Jimmy G back.
Did you just say
That's what I'm saying.
Did you just say logical?
Yes.
And Bayless possible. In the same sentence and possible?
Okay. Here it is. All right.
Who is the guy that Kyle Shanahan will do his darndest to try to keep the ball out of his hands? It's Jimmy Garoppolo. If Tom Brady were the quarterback, he would be so much more poised because Jimmy can go deer in headlights. He's just much more trustworthy under fire, especially in Super Bowls, which Tom Brady has mostly owned. If Jimmy G becomes the reason by far that they lose this Super Bowl, if he throws three picks and just completely unravels and just looks awful in the face of Patrick Mahomes, I would not be shocked if John Lynch, the 49ers GM, if he doesn't in the offseason make a play for Tom Brady, because it has been written several times they could get right out from under Jimmy G without any huge salary cap hit.
First of all, that's true, because remember when Jimmy G signed that huge contract, there was a bunch of loopholes in there. There was a bunch of, call it, escape clauses for the San Francisco 49ers. And they were actually flirting with it, you know, at certain point in times during the season when Jimmy G wasn't playing as well as his contract and his salary was supposed to be. So I just feel like that is something that could, it's possible.
He goes out there, you think he craps the bed. Or Super Bowl, he craps the bed.
Bill, well, listen, if he craps the bed, you got to pay him $25 million?
That's not that much.
For a guy that can't win you a game?
Well, for a starting, he's won games for them, though. But, I mean, it's...
The game.
You know, it's okay. I mean... What if they just lose to a better team and he's going up against the man in Patrick Mahomes? And his defense, they find out they're not that good. You know, so I think $25 million, you'd still look at it and said, well, it's not like we got to pay him $35. I mean, $25, yeah, we're good.
So
what's Tannehill going to get?
The question is, Tannehill's a different story. We can get to that
later.
But
I'm just saying.
But it is, I would say... And I hate when people do this, but I'm going to do it too. Every scenario, I think, is plausible.
It is.
Every single one is plausible. No. How badly do you want him? If you go out there and that would be, and if that happens and they bail on Jimmy G, well, you need a quarterback. Bring him back here. He would listen. Josh McDaniels could write up all the plays he wanted. Garoppolo would have no say on personnel whatsoever. They wouldn't even let him hear anything. They wouldn't let him say anything. Wouldn't take his advice at all. Go do your offseason. Do whatever you want. And I guarantee you Garoppolo is here during the offseason, lifting weights, running OTAs, having all the receivers who are young, giving them advice, mentoring them. He'd do the same thing.
So let me do what I hate doing, and that is sitting down and trying to figure out what Bayless is just talking about and actually throwing it out on the table. So if you are the San Francisco 49ers and you know you can run the football and with different guys and you know your defense is just, you know, unbelievable, and the one fault you have that you can't win the Super Bowl this year is you can't depend on your quarterback. One, when he's running with the ball, they strip the ball loose of him. When he throws, sometimes he throws awkward passes. He gets himself into trouble.
He's good for two.
Okay, yes, okay? So he's not reliable, all right? And so he's the one guy that could screw this up all for you. And let's say Patrick Mahomes goes out there and has four touchdown passes or whatever, and he has a phenomenal game. If you're John Lynch and you have an out with Jimmy Garoppolo, you're right about that. Next year, they can take a cap hit of $4.2 million and move on. Does it make sense to look at it if you're John Lynch and say, we got everything but a reliable quarterback? And Tom Brady might not be Patrick Mahomes. Certainly isn't Lamar Jackson. But the one thing we can depend on, reliability. He's not going to give the ball up. He can more than manage the game, and he can throw the ball when we need to. We have a tight end that is very similar.
I think you guys are killing Jimmy G. You guys are making it sound like he's John freaking Kitna.
No,
I'm just saying.
No, we're not.
He's had opportunities where he's gone out there and won football games for him. He's got a dominant defense and a very good running game.
He doesn't win a lot
game.
Of football games from Lou.
He should. What do you mean? What?
Jimmy Garoppolo does not win a lot of games.
How about the game in New Orleans? Did he win that game?
They that got was a shootout. Track me. He did win that game.
And okay, so he won a game for them. So I think he's won more than one. He's on a dominant defensive team with a great running game.
But suppose they fail because the other quarterback throws
four touchdown
passes.
They did not
throw
the ball 8 times because they were afraid Jimmy G was going to screw it up.
I agree with you. They were running the ball. Well, that might be part of it.
That's not the premise, though. That has nothing to do with it. We all agree with you. We're just saying, because I would equate the San Francisco 49ers, they could look a little bit like that Denver Bronco team before Peyton Manning. Great defense, lots of skill, running game, all that stuff. I mean, they're just missing that one guy. And they probably got him, just like Manning, for about 2 to 3 years before the wheels completely fell off. Well, you know, they went to the Super Bowl twice with Manning, and they won one of them. They really should have won three years in a row. But the Baltimore Ravens, they couldn't play prevent defense, and they let the Ravens throw a deep pass over their head. So I could see something like that happening. And if I'm Brady, not that I want to just, you know, bail, but there is some, you know, sentimental value with San Francisco and ending it there and whatever. You can draw it up and, you know, make it up to be whatever you want it to be. When I heard it, I was like, okay, I'm not throwing that idea out the window. Like, I'm not going to sit there and just go, that's not possible.
I actually think, I just think the Niners would just sort of laugh at all this talk, to be honest with you.
Well, they're laughing now, but the Super Bowl has not
been played.
Well,
I'm just saying, if he goes out and plays bad in the Super Bowl, it's his first full season in the NFL. He led his team to 13-3. And you could talk all you want about defense and everything else.
Did he or was it the defense?
I don't know. Did Brady lead his team in 2001? 2003? Did Brady lead his team?
He still gets credit for it.
I know he's younger, but he's a young quarterback in this league. One full season of football.
But he might be the weak link.
There's a chance he could get better next year.
But he might be the weak link against a really explosive offense. If you fall behind in that game, you know, in Super Bowl coming up, and because Mahomes is just, and that offense is clicking, then suddenly it's going to all be on Jimmy Garoppolo.
Isn't everything?
And what he's
what
basically
if?
Saying
everything's
is
what
right, everything. Suppose you come to the conclusion that day, you say to yourself, "We got everything."
I don't think they're basing on one game's the point.
Well, maybe they already think that way.
Maybe this is just one of the things, like I said.
Maybe they're just laughing at the fact that people are thinking about them moving on from this guy because they actually like him, and that his first full year in the NFL as a starter. They thought he handled everything pretty well.
I'll say, do you first guys year. Like Jimmy G?
You find out during the break. We get to your phone calls. All right. I see you up there on the board. We got an open line at 617-779-7937. We get to the phone calls coming up next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.